This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to The Daily Check-In and I'm Lee Chui Lin in the studio along with Hezril Ashraf calling in from home. And as we see the MCO winding down this week, this is also the last week of this series of shows and we're going to conclude by looking at one of the primary concerns of many Malaysians throughout the past 2 months, and that is money, specifically how our money habits have changed and adapted.
So this MCO has actually helped forced me to save money on a lot of fronts. Since I can't eat out with friends, I have meals at home with my family, so I spend significantly less on food. And since the station's on a work rotation, I don't have to spend on Grab rides every week. When it comes to shopping, I'm not an online person, and I don't feel safe enough to go out to shop since the conditional MCO means some retailers resume business today. So there's a lot of ways this has benefited me financially. Although as a fair disclaimer, I'm fortunate to not have to worry about things like rent, car loans, or mortgages.
Yeah, I've kind of been disappointed with how the moratorium on hire purchases has turned out. I don't know if I was looking forward to that. I was hesitant about it. Then I was excited about it. And now I'm back to, well, I was right to be hesitant, but also bleh. And, you know, there are some worries over how the rest of the year or the next couple of years might look like. And I have a tendency to stress spend, which is an awful habit. So all this is just coming together. And today we'll hopefully be talking to two wiser people about their money habits. On the line with us, we have Julian Ng, Chief Financial Guy at Accru, which is en route to becoming a robo-advisor, and Lim Wei Ching of BFM's B-School. Julian Wei Ching, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi guys, glad to be here.
So before we get into the money talk, let's start up with the fact that the MCO appears to be lifting, conditionally and eventually completely. Do you feel ready to head back out into the world? How do you feel about it?
I think, judging from the conversations that I've had with my friends, I think a lot of people are still very cautious about going all out, going crazy after the few couple of months of lockup, and then going out to do your normal thing. I think people are still going to, in some ways, be cautious and keep their distancing. So glad to have that normality back, but still very cautious.
Mm. Wei Ching, what about you? Yeah, okay. I don't think we have Wei Ching on the line. We weren't sure, and now we know. So, Julian, you are also a radio person. I think you know these things can happen anyway.
Yeah.
We're sorry about that.
Not fun when it happens, but I can't avoid it sometimes.
All right, yeah, let's move on then. We'll come back to Wei Ching when we get her.
So, Julian, all right, let's dive in. Can we take a step back and look at what your spending habits were like pre-MCO? Did you have a structured plan that you stuck to?
Yeah, I did a very loose one. I think that for a long time, I kind of let my spending do a free-flow thing with a very structured savings and investment plan in the background, until sometime at the end of last year, I decided to get a budgeting app because I I felt at that time my spending was sort of getting out of control. So I decided to get an app to monitor that. So from the viewpoint of the MCO, I must say that whether there is an MCO or not, one should still have a plan. And I'm glad to say that I kind of stuck to that plan when the MCO took place.
And I believe we do now have Wei Ching on the line. Wei Ching, are you there?
Yes. Hi, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, Julian.
So we just heard Julian answer a couple of questions and we're going to direct them to you as well. So firstly, I guess, how do you feel about the MCO lifting and do you feel ready to be back out there?
I think I'm not quite ready, actually. But it's been quite an interesting time. I've been working from home, so it's been good. But if we need to get back to work and if we can do it safely, then by all means, I'm ready to get back to work.
And we also asked Julian about his spending habits pre-MCO and whether he had a structured plan, to which I have a follow-up question there, which we'll get to shortly after this. But yeah, to you, I mean, what were your spending habits like?
I think like most of us before MCO, I was spending a bit of money on traveling, so petrol, tolls, parking. So that one has dropped by a lot. And then I was also eating out quite a bit. I would say 80% of the time I was eating out. So that's changed now. It's mostly eating at home, cooking at home, but also ordering in. So my spending habits now is really just focused around food.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will be able to relate to you on that. Julian, sorry, I have to put you on the spot. When you said that you started getting into budgeting apps because you felt like maybe your free flow spending had gotten a little bit too free flow, what were you spending on, if you don't mind?
I think that a lot of unplanned spendings, you know, when you, at the spur of the moment, you decide to go out for a meal to a restaurant, even if it's nothing fancy, if it's anything unplanned, say for example because you're lazy to cook or you know or something like that, then there's that spontaneous decision to get into the mall and eat out. And when you dine out, of course, there are a lot of other temptations that are around you. You do other kinds of shopping, you know, get that extra bag of very crispy crisp, or that walking into Miniso and, you know, just filling the basket with stuff, it can go out of hand and go crazy for a bit. So I think I like the fact that the MCO enforced a kind of savings for us. And then like Wei Qing, we also ate out less. And even on Grab deliveries, I like the idea of driving out, you know, my time to drive out and put an audiobook on and kind of make that journey listening to a book, and at the same time reduce on even deliveries because that can get quite expensive as well, and just stuff out directly from the food sellers, which actually need a lot of our help, you know, in supporting their business.
And what have you found yourself spending on the most and the least throughout this MCO now that some of your habits have shifted? Wei Qing, maybe you can go first.
Yeah, sure. So again, for me, it's food. And like Julie, I mean, I generally am quite fairly disciplined in my spending, except when it comes to food. And because we've been cooking quite a lot at the beginning when I went out shopping for groceries, I think I might have gotten a little bit not too disciplined. I started buying all different kinds of things that I normally don't have time, because I normally don't have time to cook, so I wouldn't spend so much on different produce, right? But because we've been cooking quite a bit at home, so I started buying things that I may not normally buy, and then those things add up, you know, and then little treats that make you happy, you know, like more cheeses, more breads, that kind of stuff. So that's what I've been spending most on. Least would definitely be, I guess, on traveling. I mean, I'm still on my petrol tank is still the last time I pumped was 7-8 weeks ago, and I still have petrol in my car, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, for sure, that's a big win. And Julian, do you find yourself, buying additional treats when you're at the grocery, when you're at the grocery aisle, or are you in a different situation?
Yeah, I think that the one thing about the lockdown with all its distancing rules is that even when you're in the grocery, you really want to get in there and get out fast. So I think we haven't fallen straight to the habit of picking up all the extra, what I would call luxuries, really. That's something that you don't need to eat to survive, right? You just get the core stuff for your meals and then you get out of there. But we have been actually taking away a lot from the hawker stalls, which is something that we like and was a semblance of what reflected our normal life before the lockdown. So we've been doing a lot of that. But I also found Wei Qing, that we saved on petrol quite a bit. We saved on not spending on restaurants, even on haircuts. I haven't had a haircut for a very, very long time, so I look extremely unkempt right now.
again, not alone in that. I wouldn't worry. The beauty of the MCO is we're all in the same boat. So one of the things that I've noticed happening is, like you both allude to, right, people are spending a lot more time in the kitchen, whereas before this, they might be eating out. People are driving less. So there are some shifts in life habits in general, and with that can come shifts in spending habits. I've also seen people talking about amazing things that they found online that they would never have thought of buying before, but now it makes their lives a lot better. I'm just curious whether you've actually made any purchases during this time that you might not have bought in your daily life pre-MCO, but suddenly it's like the best thing ever, you know, like the best vegetable peeler or something, I'm not sure. Wei-Ching, do you have anything like that?
For me, I guess, not in terms of tools, but maybe in terms of ingredients. So now that I have more time on my hand, so to speak, like not having to travel, you know, when you're scrolling through Instagram, and then there are a lot of restaurants and a lot of wholesalers who can't seem to be who can't sell their produce. So there's a lot of good deals out there, like, you know, maybe boxes of vegetables straight from an organic farm in Janabai, or, you know, a meat wholesaler that's selling a bunch of really nice meat for a much cheaper price. So I've been spending quite a bit of that, if I must say. But, with me and my family members, like when I'm talking about my cousins, my sister, what we do is if we all find something and then we kind of just pull it together and say, hey, you know, does anyone want to order anything? And then we just do a big order. So a lot of the money has been gone into buying all these things from local producers. And then you realize that in actual fact, we have a lot of really good local producers who just need to be able to connect with the wider market.
Julian, what about you?
I think my wife bought a masterclass, which was about $800. I wouldn't say what the cost was. But that was very expensive. As for me, I went for, I think, you know, something I wouldn't do in a normal situation. I signed up for Audible under the subscription model where I could listen to an unlimited number of books at any one time. And then I also, what was the other thing that I did? I actually, you know, bought a few online books as well. So Audible was that thing that I signed up for, which I thought was an unusual luxury. Oh, the other thing that I was going to sign up for a membership into an online chess website as well, something I did as a kid, and now I want to revisit that.
Can I just say that this is the second time in as many days of doing the show that someone has brought up chess? So
yeah, I wonder if there's some like hidden chess club in KL that we're not aware of.
Not that hidden. People keep talking about it on the radio. So on the line with us today, checking in, we have Julian Ng, Chief Financial Guy at Accru, as well as Lim Wei-Ching of BFM's B School. Together, we're talking about money habits and how they've shifted throughout the MCO, especially now that the MCO is coming to an end. We'd like to hear from you. I mean, what have you been spending on, if you don't mind telling us? And also, how have your thoughts and habits surrounding money changed over the course of the last 6 weeks by now? You can, of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back on the Daily Check-In, BFM 89.9.
Business, finance and music, BFM 89.9.
With many of us back at work, here's a quick reminder of some of the precautionary measures we should continue to keep safe. Physical distancing. Keep a distance of between 1 to 2 meters away from other people. Continue to sanitize and wash your hands. The 20-second rule still applies. Face masks. Err on the side of caution and wear them to prevent droplets from spreading. And continue maintaining high levels of personal hygiene. It's down to each of us to continue flattening the curve by being disciplined and responsible and caring for our fellow Malaysians and ourselves. Stay safe, Malaysia, and stay tuned. This is a message from BFM 89.9. It is 4:20 in the afternoon and you're listening to the Daily Check-In with Lynn and Hezril. Joining us on the line today, we have Julian Ng, Chief Financial Guy at Accru, which is en route to becoming a robo-advisor, and Lim Wei-Ching of BFM's B School. We're talking today about money habits and how they have been changing over the course of the MCO. If you'd like to tell us how you've been spending your money maybe, or how your thoughts around money and your habits have been shifting, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Just very quickly, we do have a WhatsApp from Melissa who says Lego, which is, I think, a pretty great answer.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, on that note, I think all of us have been talking a lot about food and spending. And a lot of restaurants are going cashless as a precaution, and everyone's basically encouraged to use their cards. Have you both completely transitioned to making online transfers and using your debit or credit cards? Maybe Julian, you can go first.
Yeah, actually, this is something that I was an early adopter of because it offers so much convenience. So, using a lot of e-wallets and wireless credit card payments if e-wallets were not available. And by extension, even contactless deliveries, when you take delivery from the guy outside, you know, that person would just leave it outside. So, yeah, definitely, I'm a buyer of such payment systems, in spite of the fears of certain people about privacy, as well as, you know, how Uncle Sam is always watching you.
So for me, I'm also the same. I wouldn't call myself an early adopter, but definitely in the past year, I've moved on to, first of all, Maybank QR Pay, then also bank transfers, and then also GrabPay. So these are, I guess, three of the most used payment methods now for me. I think maybe the last cash payment I made was, I don't know, at least maybe even before MCO. I might have only done it once or twice. MCO. Not sure about for you guys. Is it the same?
Yeah, pretty much. I've been a little bit of a skeptic, I have to say, about these things. I think just a bit of a Luddite or a, I don't know, a strange grandma about e-wallets. I don't know what my natural aversion to them is.
You're just like holding a wad of cash, right, Lynn?
Yeah.
You know, I don't like your tone of voice, Julian. Who doesn't? But yeah, I've had to come round on it, right, because of the circumstances. And I think a big part of that is also talking about the new norms or the changing things that we've been trying to adapt to, one of which was this idea of having loan deferments or a loan holiday, which initially was announced. Everybody was really happy. Recently, we've seen that tone shift. If you don't mind us asking, I mean, did either of you take that up, or, you know, what did you think about it at the time, Wei Qing?
For me, I guess I'm quite lucky in the sense that any loans that I had, I don't currently have any loans. I mean, I finished paying off one last year, so I think I'm very thankful for that. Because if I were to have a loan, I think I would prefer obviously to pay that first, because you may not. How do you say, even with the deferment, at the end, you still have to pay for it, right? So if I were to have a loan, I would probably try to pay it off without having to defer it. But right now, I'm very lucky in that I don't have any. So, yeah. But Julian, you might be able to shed more light on this.
Yeah, I do have a housing loan. And I'm not as queasy about this as many people are, especially some of the financial advisors that who are out there. Perhaps because of this great fear of debt, and that's totally understandable. But I think it's not that bad a thing, because really you're getting for the interest, obviously, that you're paying for in the next couple of decades, you are getting cash upfront. So you're getting upfront cash today for cheap future interest payments, which I think are a small price to pay for that, because for every 100,000 loan that you have, for the next 20 years, that's only less than $15 of increase, rise in interest payments that you have to pay for the next few decades, right? So I think that's okay. And you can use that cash to actually pay for some of the major stuff or the expensive stuff that would greatly improve your life over the long term. For example, let's say medical treatments, major repairs to your home, overhauling the car, what have you, right? And even if you had no major needs, you can actually take that money and invest it and reinvest it for the long term to plan for longer term needs like your retirement. And the reason is that from a financial viewpoint, the interest rates are very cheap compared to the long-term return rates that you can get from, let's say, a global portfolio, right? The global portfolio would have returns that way exceed your interest cost for that. So I think the monthly increase in interest rates, in interest payments for the next few decades, the monthly interest rates increase, would be a very small price to pay for the benefits that you're getting.
And beyond loan deferments, financially overall, what's been particularly challenging for the both of you in other areas of your life, Julian?
Yeah, I think that for a lot of people, really, it's going to be how to handle the possible economic challenges that are going to come up. Basically, you know, people would have to do something, to do all they can to stay employed, or if they have been unemployed as a result of the MCO, then they would have to look for a job, and they would have to be very, very clever about how they control their expenses and not spend very blindly. So I think that there would be economic challenges at hand, and we have to be very careful about that.
And reaching yourself?
I think for me, because before the MCO, I already had intention to take a bit of a sabbatical. So there were some travel plans and things like that. So I was already in the mindset of knowing that there will be some time where I won't be getting any income. So I think with this MCO, it's just made it more difficult, I think, in the sense that if and when I want to rejoin the workforce again, you know, finding a similar job or finding ways to earn money might be a bit more difficult. So, so I guess that would probably be the more challenging part financially. But because I already had the mindset that I'm going to take some time off, I kind of was already prepared. So I'm not so much in a shock as perhaps other people who wasn't planning for something like this.
And Julian mentioned some, potential investments that people may be looking at. Are there any potential opportunities as a result of this whole pandemic that have caught your eye?
Yeah, I think if you're a wage earner, that wage that's going to hopefully come in on a monthly basis without being terminated in the short term. If you still have a job, then I think the main strategy would be to stay the course and invest a portion of your salary, putting it aside for very long-term goals like retirement and so on. And also, I think that is a better strategy, you know, to put aside of your savings and just simply putting that money into a global portfolio rather than looking at specific items like oil and property and so on. It gets very complicated when one does that. So the global portfolio itself, I think, is a very good instrument. Because it surfaces winners, it really tracks policies that governments around the world are going to come up to weather an economic turnaround. A global portfolio actually takes care of that. So I would say continue staying the course. That aside, I actually recently put a tiny amount of my portfolio into Bitcoins because supposedly they're the thing of the future. So for the first time in my life, I debuted on Bitcoins, but the investment was so small that it wouldn't affect me if, just in case Bitcoin tanks, right? That wouldn't affect my life or my well-being. But if Bitcoins go through the roof, then I in some way benefit from that with the addition of returns to my portfolio. So I think that you've got to make that kind of very out of the left field kind of investment, small enough that it doesn't become a gamble to your assets, but you know, meaningful enough that it can actually make some kind of an impact if it goes through the roof. And I must stress here that I'm totally not making a recommendation to go into any cryptocurrency of any kind. Yeah, it's just a small gamble on my part.
So we have time, I think, for just one more question for the both of you. And it's kind of a tough one considering, I think, the uncertainties we face, but it's also something that's on people's minds. What is your financial plan going to look like moving forward? Wei-Ching, especially, I mean, you've talked about how you're currently in a bit of shifting circumstances, right, at the moment.
Yep.
So what's the rest of your year going to look like?
I think for me, I think this MCO has really reiterated that cash is king. So I put aside my, I'm not a sophisticated investor like Julian and some of the other people in BFM. But for me, it's definitely putting aside whatever money that I have, definitely putting aside as savings, and then perhaps relooking at my expenditure and constantly asking, you know, is this really a need or is it a want? So I think it's just being very strict with my expenditure until perhaps there comes a time when my circumstances change and then, you know, money is a bit easier. So, yeah, that's me.
Julian, what about you?
Yeah, I would say that my plans wouldn't change much, but I would encourage people who have not thought about their long-term financial goals that this would be a good time to think about it, simply because the prices have come off to such a big extent that it's cheap to sort of get into investments right now. So think about that. The other thing to, from a very tactical viewpoint, is to really acknowledge the fact that this would not be the last pandemic. So you really have to be prepared for the next one. And what if the next one happens and the economy, not only the local economy and the global, but the global economy going down south again, right? You have to think of such things and prepare yourself. So I think for a lot of people who already have got side gigs and are starting a business, but that's good. But also, I think people would now have to think of a way to actually improve what they can make out of their job. You know, it's time for some soul searching, I guess, to result in something that is to come out looking better for the long term, I guess.
Wonderful. Julian, Wei Qing, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Thank you.
That was Julian Ng, Chief Financial Guy at Accru, which is en route to becoming a robo-advisor, and Lim Wei Qing of BFM's B-School talking to us about money during the time of the MCO, how it's shifted, what they're spending on. Again, if you would like to weigh in, if you've got some new money habits or if the way you're thinking about your money has been affected by the pandemic, by the MCO, we would love to hear what your thoughts are. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be headed very shortly to the press conference given every day by the DG of Health that will be coming your way in just a little bit. Keep it here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.